But there are lots of different kinds of solar cells. And I have a plot here of efficiencies of solar cells. So this axis is solar cell efficiency. And we saw if you have a single solar cell, then you could be up here about 35. And there are solar cells with higher efficiencies, but they're stacked. And the idea here is that you have two solar cells on top of each other, the first one with a large band gap and the second one with a smaller band gap. A large band gap is just transparent to the low energy photons. So the large band gap absorbs the high energy photons. The low energy photons go through. There's another solar cell underneath with lower a lower band gap, and it collects then the lower band gap photons. If you left this top one away, the bottom one would collect all the photons, the high energy photons and the low energy photons. But the high energy photons, a lot of their energy would be wasted because the amount of energy you can extract electrically corresponds to the band gap. So you want to use a high band gap to extract the high energy photons and a low band gap to extract the low energy photons. And then you come up into this 45% range up here. The commercial solar cells are down around here somewhere, and silicon is, I don't know, 18, 20% efficient. And for silicon, that's close to the limit of the solar cells. Also on this plot, there's down here what looks like unpromising material, but this is mostly somehow organic, cheaply produced material. Solar cells are not so easy to produce, and in the early years, like in 1960, people would produce solar cells, and it would cost more energy to produce them than they ever provided. It was still useful to make solar cells because there are some applications, like an emergency telephone on a freeway somewhere where there's no cable coming up to it, and you need power somehow. So there were some applications where solar cells were still useful in those days. That's passed a long time ago. Now there is still, now you always get more energy out of a solar cell than you put into it, but it's still a fairly energy intensive process. And if you can, with some kind of simple plastic process, make a solar cell that's 10 or 15% efficient, it's not as good as the other ones, but it doesn't use so much energy to produce. And sometimes you would like to have a very cheap solar cell that's maybe not optimal. So for instance, if you want to have some kind of smart electronics on packaging, even food packaging, in the plastic you can put electronics, but the electronics need power somehow. And the power could just be the ambient light is providing the power through a solar cell for some sensor circuit. And one application that people have talked about for a long time is things like the expiration date of meat in the supermarket. So right now what happens is that the meat is put there and you print the date on it, and you know that if they take it out of the supermarket before a certain date, it will still be good. It's still good a week later, but they have to take it out of the supermarket because of the rules. And if they had a sensor, they could leave it there longer and not take it out at that point. And using a date like that, what happens is that most of the meat that's taken away is still good. Some of it that was sold was bad because it's just a date, and there's not some meat may have some problem and it's already bad. And if you had sensors there, you could tell which is good and which is bad. And so in that type of application, it may not be so important that the solar cell is 50% efficient. Maybe 5% is good enough if it's got enough power to drive the circuits. So that's what this kind of activity is down here. It's maybe interesting to compare solar cells to biofuels, because biofuels are, in a sense, like solar cells. You use solar energy to generate chemical energy, then you take the chemical energy and you burn it. It works out that The plants convert about 3% of the solar energy into chemical form. But then when you burn it to get electricity, you lose another fraction. So in total, you get about 1% of the solar energy out if you use biofuels and then burn them. So they're not nearly as efficient in converting solar energy as semiconductor solar cells are. It's a very active field, and it's active because, not very recently, but over the long term, the price of oil has been rising. And as oil rises, at the same time, the cost of solar cells have been dropping fairly dramatically. And there will be one point in the not too distant future where getting energy from solar cells is cheaper than burning oil. And when that's true, there's so many reasons for doing that that there's an anticipation that there's a huge profit to be made from having the plant that produces the first solar cells that produce more efficiently than burning oil. Right now, people put solar cells on. It typically only makes financial sense if you get a subsidy from the government. And the government is providing these subsidies, hoping to push us closer to this point where the solar cells are cheaper than burning fuel, because then all greedy industries will put solar cells everywhere to save money, not because they want to make the environment better, but it will have a good consequence anyway. Okay, so we better stop, and we'll talk more about semiconducting devices next week.